Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, and chapter number 33, entitled The Activities of Kapila. Text number 4. Satvam rito me jattarena nata. Katam nu yasyo darare tad asit. Vishvam yugante vatapatra eka. Sete sma maya shishurangripana. Saha. That very person. Tvam, you, Brittaha, took birth. Mejata Rena, by my abdomen. Nata, O my Lord. Katam, how? Nu, then. Yasya, of whom? Udare, in the belly. Etat, this, asit, did rest. Vishvam, universe. Yuga ante, at the end of the millennium. Vatapatre, on the leaf of a banyan tree. Ekaha, alone. Shetesma, you lay down. Maya, possessing inconceivable powers. Shishuhu, a baby. Angri, your toe. Panaha, licking. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have taken birth from my abdomen. O Lord, how is that possible for the Supreme One, who has in his belly all the cosmic manifestation? The answer is that it is possible, for at the end of the millennium, you lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree, and just like a small baby, you lick the toe of your lotus feet. Please repeat. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have taken birth from my abdomen. O my Lord, how is that possible for the Supreme One who has in his belly all the cosmic manifestation? The answer is that it is possible. For at the end of the millennium, you lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree. And just like a small baby, you lick the toe of your lotus foot. Purport. At the time of the dissolution, the Lord sometimes appears as a small baby lying on the leaf of a banyan tree, floating on the devastating water. Therefore, Devahuti suggests, you lying down within the abdomen of a common woman like me is not so astonishing. You can lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree and float on the water of devastation as a small baby. It is not very wonderful, therefore, that you can lie down in the abdomen of my body. You teach us that those who are very fond of children within this material world and who therefore enter into marriage to enjoy family life with children can also have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their child. And the most wonderful thing is that the Lord himself licks his toe. Since all the great sages and devotees apply all energy and all activities in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there must be some transcendental pleasure in the toes of his lotus feet. The Lord licks his own toe to taste the nectar for which the devotees always aspire. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself wonders how much transcendental pleasure is within himself. And in order to taste his own potency, he sometimes takes the position of tasting himself. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but he appears as a devotee to taste the sweetness of the transcendental mellow in himself, which is tasted by Srimati Radharani, the greatest of all devotees. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantakam Vandayaham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Panakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Dr. Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Prajarane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Satvam Pratome Jatarena Nata Katam Nuyasyo Darare Tad Asid Vishvam Yugante Vatapatra Eka Shete Smamaya Shishuran Kripana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have taken birth from my abdomen. O my Lord, how is that possible for the Supreme One, who has in his belly all the cosmic manifestation? The answer is that it is possible, for at the end of the millennium you lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree, and just like a small baby, you lick the toe of your lotus foot. So there are a number of things in this verse in purport, but I want to continue a little bit on the theme that we were talking on yesterday about how about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Because this exchange between the Supreme Lord and his devotees is actually very wonderful. In the purport, one of our acharyas is commenting that what Mother Devahuti is actually saying is that someone who is attached to children can actually have the Supreme Lord as his child. So that's so in the case of Devaki and Vasudev. In the previous lifetime, as Prishnigava and whoever, I forget just now, they prayed to have the Supreme Lord as their son. And so the Supreme Lord fulfilled their desires. But then he left them. Now Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he mentions that the love of Mother Yashoda was even far more exalted than that of Devaki and Vasudeva. Because they didn't have a goal in mind. They didn't pray to have the Supreme Lord as their son. They only wanted to serve him. And because of that unalloyed devotional service, they got to enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna, which are so wonderful. So this is also mentioning a childhood pastime of Krishna. As a small baby, he lies on a banyan tree. Just to give some transcendental relationship with Markandeya Rishi. I'm also going to refer to the prayers of Queen Kunti, because one thing she says a lot in her prayers also is about this wonderful nature of the exchange between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. There's two verses in particular I'm going to look at. And it's 1:8, 30 and 31. So 1:8:30, Janma karma cha vishvatman ajyasya kartu atmanaha tiryan yarshishu yadashu tad adyanta vidambanam. Of course it is bewildering. O soul of the universe, that you work although you are inactive, that you take birth although you are the vital force and unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages and aquatics. Verily, this is very bewildering. So in the purport of this, Srila Prabhupada begins by saying that the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. Because in this one of today's verse, Mother Devahuti is saying that you are the Supreme One. You have within yourself the entire cosmic manifestation, and yet you have taken birth from my womb. So that certainly is bewildering and seemingly contradictory. In yesterday's purport, Srila Prabhupada made a point that the Supreme Personality Godhead is also very wonderful because he allows himself to be known through the Vedic scriptures. But it's not just through reading the Vedic scriptures. In the purport to this verse in Queen Kunti's prayers, Srila Prabhupada takes this further. He says he cannot be understood by Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by pure devotees intimately related to him. So some words that came up in this verse also come up in the Bhagavad Gita about Krishna's appearance being transcendental. Janma karma tan me divyam evam yovati tatvataha chaktva deham punarmanja naiti mamaiti sojana. When we know the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. And another verse, which I don't know by heart, is 4.6. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavam yachamayaya. Although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my internal energy I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So here the words aja and unborn and avyayatma, which means without deterioration. So the nature of Krishna is transcendental, but also the nature of his relationship with his devotees is also very special. There's one verse that is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the 10th canto, 12th verse. Canto, 12th chapter, 11th verse. Okay, that's a combined verse. Okay, so it's just the last one of these verses that is being quoted here. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhucha dasyam gatanam para devatena maya sritanam naradarakena sakam vijahur krita punya punya. So this verse, these verses are talking about how the cowherd boys play with Krishna and the different ways they play with him. So what's being mentioned is that these cowherd boys are not ordinary boys. So this is where we need to take note of the relationship between the cowherd boys and Krishna. So it says previous to that, in this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for the jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who, for ordinary persons, is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many, many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So this verse is telling us about the wonderful nature of the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And so the word given here is that it's by pious activities. Krita, punya, punja. All these boys who had accumulated the results of life after life of pious activities. So the result of that was that they actually didn't worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All they knew that Krishna was wonderful. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna would go out playing with them and they would kill some demons. He would swallow a forest fire and they would just think, oh, Krishna's wonderful. And they would go home at night and they would say to Mother Yashoda and the other mothers in the village, Krishna is so wonderful, this is what he did today. And the other mothers would say, yes, Krishna is wonderful. And sometimes someone would say, well, maybe he's a demigod, maybe he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, they didn't care. All they were interested in was that Krishna was wonderful, and therefore he was the most beloved. So this getting to this stage is, of course, what we want. One verse Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita again is this verse in 7:28. Yesham tvantagata papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mahanir mukta bhajante man nridavritaha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So this is something for us to hang on to, that by pious activities in previous lives and in this life, we may get to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains He gives an example. He says, the government, he was speaking at this in New York. He said the government has spent millions and millions of dollars trying to get the youth to give up drugs. And they failed. And Prabhupada says, but I simply asked them to follow regulative principles, four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And they followed me. So what's the difference? What is the difference? There's so much effort by the government and nothing changed. Yet Prabhupada, actually, we were talking about that last night. Prabhupada didn't attract these people by giving them lots of rules and regulations in the beginning. He attracted them by bringing them, by giving them prasadam, and by speaking to them. Actually, if you listen to these devotees who first joined Srila Prabhupada, most of them couldn't understand his accent. They had no idea what he was speaking about, but they loved him. So this is a bit like the relationship between the cowherd boys and Krishna. They didn't know anything but that this man was completely free from any personal motive. And then he was just relating to them out of love, and they accepted it. So they got to the point of initiation. They took initiation. And then somebody thought, perhaps I better see what else is involved. So one of the devotees asked, so is there anything else? And then Prabhupada said, yes, you chant 16 rounds a day, you give up meat, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. And they did it. So just like that, they were able to give up. So Prabhupada says, there's a reason for that. You can't give up a lower engagement until you've got a higher engagement. So the verse is there in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Param Drishtva Nivartate. We have to get the higher engagement. So Prabhupada engaged everybody in the higher engagement about learning about and about serving Krishna. So in this way, he was able to get them to give up all sorts of terrible things. I mean, the government was just trying to reduce the intoxication of drugs. So many other things, actually, the Western society think is normal. They thought the devotees were extremely strange for giving up illicit sex, alcohol, for getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. There was one story from Prabhupada's disciple. Actually, the FBI thought that the Hare Krishnas were a bit suspicious. So they sent one of their men into the Hare Krishna movement and said, you just live with them for some time undercover and you find out what they're all about. So he did that. He didn't last long. He only lasted a couple of weeks. And he went back and he reported, these people are crazy. They're not really up to anything. I mean, who would voluntarily get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and take a cold bath and then go to the temple? And then they spend all their time, they hardly eat anything. They get, you know, a few chapatis, not much to eat. And then they go out on the streets all day trying to dance and chant and distribute this knowledge, distribute books and sense and so on. These people, what can they be up to? They're simply crazy. So like that, the regular population doesn't understand this higher taste that we're engaged in. Because it begins by service. When we come into the temple, we begin by doing service. And this service brings us Krishna's blessings. As we were talking also last night, by our own efforts in this age of Kali, we don't have any qualification to do anything or get anywhere. But if by chance we're able to serve some Vaishnavas, if by chance we're able to listen a little bit to an advanced Vaishnava, then we get the blessings of that Vaishnava and we also get the blessings of Krishna. And that will do far more for us than our own efforts will ever do. So then the next verse that I wanted to look at in the teachings of Queen Kunti. Is the following verse, text number 31. Gopyada dehitvai kritagasi dhammatavad yate dasashru kalilanjana samramaksham vaktram naniya bhaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimohayati bir api yadbabeti. So this is a very famous verse. This was the verse that caused Pundarik Vidyanidhi to go into complete ecstasy when Garudha Pandit was wondering if he was really a devotee or if he was just a sense enjoyer. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offence, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. Although you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you, that sight is bewildering to me. So this is a very special verse in the prayers of Kwi Kunti, because it explains the difference in relationship between Kunti, who was Krishna's aunt, and Krishna, and Mother Yashoda, who was her foster mother. So Kunti is very amazed that the fact that, because Kunti understands Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because she's not in Vrindavan, she's not in Vraj, she's in Dwaraka. But Mother Yashoda doesn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what's bewildering to Kunti is that Mother Yashoda decided to chastise Krishna, and he became afraid. So we'll go into this a little bit, how we know he's actually afraid. He's not just pretending to be afraid, he is afraid. This was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we'll get on to later, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that we know that Krishna is not pretending, because if he was pretending, then it wouldn't surprise Queen Kunti. She wouldn't be surprised if Krishna was just pretending for the sake of an exchange to be afraid. She is surprised because he actually is afraid. Mother Yashoda comes to chastise him, and then she binds him, and he's afraid. He admits that he's in wrong, and he's very sort of downcast and apologetic. So this is very amazing. And the purport for this one, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that the Lord accepts the loving service of the devotees more relishably when rendered spontaneously out of pure devotion, without any reverential admiration. So Yashoda is much more exalted than Queen Kunti. Prabhupada also mentions in the teachings of Queen Kunti how these exchanges are an example of Krishna's opulence of beauty. So Krishna has the six opulences: beauty, wealth, renunciation,
fame.
Wealth, we said. Strength. And one more that I didn't get. But this represents his opulence of beauty. Because all the devotees are simply enchanted by Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna is enchanted by this exchange with the devotees. So Krishna is actually so enchanted with his exchange by the devotees that he forgets he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why he can really be afraid of Mother Yashoda. He can really be beaten up by the cowherd boys when they decide to fight with him, and sometimes he loses because he actually forgets he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again, he's mentioning that there is a difference between Krishna's forgetfulness that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity's forgetfulness. Oh, just one other point here. The only time that Krishna remembers that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead is when he's got to do something really wonderful, like swallow a forest fire. At that time he remembers, but the cowherd boys don't. But generally, he actually forgets he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining is that when the jiva is forgetful, he becomes shackled by maya. And he is suffering. He's tortured by maya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes five types of suffering. He says, avidya, ignorance. So this ignorance, this avidya, is taking the impermanent as permanent, which means taking the material body, the material world, material relationships as permanent. Asmita, false ego, is the belief in I am mine. I am me and what I've got is mine. Raga is attachment and the desire to follow sense gratification through the body. Dvesha means hatred, which means an aversion to things that make us unhappy. And abhinivesha, absorption in the body as being the basis for sense gratification. So when the jiva is in ignorance, when the jiva forgets his position, he's suffering. But when Krishna is overcome by prem, his forgetfulness of his position gives him great happiness. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of just like when a bumblebee goes into the stem of a lotus, he becomes bound there, but actually he's supremely happy. He's not trying to get out at all. He says in the same way, this Krishna, he seemingly becomes afraid of Mother Yashoda, but this exchange is actually an exchange of happiness because it's an exchange of love. So in this unalloyed prem, this unalloyed pure devotional service, the jnana, which is the knowledge of Krishna's position, and the aishvarya, which is the awe and reverence, the feeling of veneration, are obscured. But in all the relationships of Dvaraka, prem is mixed with this jnana, this knowledge, like Devahuti and Queen Kunti, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that is Aishvarya. They have a reverential approach to him. Okay. So, the other thing is Srila Prabhupada in his purport is bringing us to Lord Chaitanya. The reason for Lord Chaitanya's descent. Because the story of the small baby licking his lotus feet, Prabhupada is bringing back to the fact that Krishna wants to taste the nectar that the devotees experience. So in the same way in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained why Lord Chaitanya comes. So he descends for internal and external reasons. His external reasons are to propagate the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to give us unalloyed devotional service, this devotional service we're trying to study now. Because although there are four authorized sampradayas, and they have come down from time immemorial from Krishna himself, they teach mixed devotional service. They teach worship of Lakshmi Narayan. They don't teach pure unalloyed devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya has come to teach the chanting of the holy name. He's come to teach pure unalloyed devotional service. And he's come to teach by giving us the example, by showing us personally. But his internal reasons for coming are to actually taste this nectar experienced by Srimati Radharani. So he wants to taste the happiness that she tastes. He wants to experience what it's like to see him, because he doesn't know. And what's the third one? I forget. Anyway. So I didn't prepare on this subject because we're almost out of time anyway. So now you can invite some comments and some questions, corrections, if any. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
You said loving service to Krishna. Now we are doing service to Krishna. How do we know it's loving service?
The love will be cultivated. Prabhupada gave the example that you can actually only love someone if you first come to know them. So our process is to engage in service and also to hear and chant. So chanting is also an exchange of love. When we become aware that Krishna is personally present in his name. And all this will come also by hearing. By this Bhagavatam class is so important because by hearing we will learn about Krishna and we will become attached to Krishna. So in this way, it will happen. We may not know it happens. First, we develop faith. And we develop faith in this process. And faith that we're reliant on the mercy of the pure devotees and the mercy of Krishna. And for us, when we're still materially conditioned, we show our love in our service to the spiritual master. Because that is a relationship we can experience and we can love. Some of us may not have so much connection with our Diksha Guru, but we have a loving relationship with the devotees around us who provide siksha and who provide association. So in this relationship with the devotees, we will start to experience some loving relationship, some attachment. There was also a story. Prabhupada at one time was sitting with the devotees and he asked the devotees, "So why do you keep coming? Why do you keep coming? You're here, you're coming." So the devotees were giving all sorts of answers, how it was the supreme goal, how they learned Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how they were coming to serve, and so many different things. And Prabhupada said, "No, actually, you're coming here because it's a taste. You have a taste for chanting. You have a taste for this service. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here." So this taste begins even at a very early stage of devotional service. Now, the devotees will record that sometimes we get great taste in the beginning, but later it kind of fades off a little while. So this is also explained in the Nectar of Devotion. It's called the shadow attachment. So this shadow can be there if we come along and the first time we dance with the devotees, we feel the ecstasy. It's there. But it's explained that it can't stay there always, because otherwise we would be simply there because we're enjoying. We'd be engaged in sense gratification. So we actually have to build that determination to find that relationship with Krishna. Like for example, Parikshit Maharaj, he met Krishna in the womb and he was so enthralled by that meeting that he spent all the rest of his life searching for him and never finding him. So we need that much of enthusiasm to try and get that love, not that we think we've already got it. So we get some experience in the beginning and then we also have some trials later on. It's also described that Maya is testing us because she is one of Krishna's gatekeepers. She wants to make sure we're qualified to get back to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, every devotee there, every entity there, is simply wants to please Krishna. So if we have any small separate desire, we don't belong there. So Maya is going to test us. So we shouldn't be happy. We shouldn't be expecting to be happy all the time. Otherwise it just becomes a transcendental sense gratification. But our faith must be in the process, that if we continue to follow the process, we will attain the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, and they will come and rescue us. Thank you.
this waxing and waning of service is also because of our anarthas.
Yes. Yes, our anarthas are there. We need to not just rely on Krishna. We need to take some effort to deal properly with the devotees. And in that way, we'll get rid of our anarthas. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes.
But we also said that pious activities lead us to higher planets. So isn't it devotional service they must have done in the previous life?
Yes. So that's for the cowherd boys, it's explained. Of course, there are Nitya Siddha cowherd boys that have been always Krishna's friends. But for some of the other ones, they actually met Lord Ram. And they wanted to associate with Lord Ram. At that point, they were ladies. They were in ladies' bodies. And they fell in love with Lord Ram and they wanted to associate with him. But he explained, well, no, in this life, I'm Ekapatni Vrat. I'm only taking one wife, and that's Sita. And so he allowed them to come back in the following life. But yeah, generally, simply by pious activities, we don't get devotional service. But what does happen through pious activities, if we take up a pious life, is that then at some point we will inadvertently serve some Vaishnavas. So if we act piously, if we cultivate proper culture, if we learn proper way of behaving, then if some Vaishnava comes past and we're just greeting strangers, we don't know it's a Vaishnava, but we'll greet him. We'll offer him somewhere to sit, we'll offer him some water. Like in the temple, every morning, we worship Tulsi Maharani. Now, so many people come into the temple and they don't know who Tulsi Maharani is. But if they follow and they worship her, they're also serving the pure devotee. And similarly, we start with Gurvastakam in the morning, the worship of the spiritual master, the worship of Srila Prabhupada. So people coming into the temple, they participate, and they, in that way, they gain some devotional credit, unknowingly. So by pious activities, we can come into a better position to gain unknowing devotional credits. And yes, it takes devotional credits to get devotional service, but it may be unknowing, like serving a Vaishnava unknowingly, like coming to the temple and like that. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.